Tonight's reading is Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It occurred to me while I was talking with Larry how negative I was being, and so that's why I paused. But in America, we would call Martin a closer. It's from baseball. A pitcher struggles to make it into the seventh or eighth inning, and the team needs somebody solid who's going to close out the game. So, nice. Martin with the save. Appreciate that. And I also was pausing and realizing I was kind of thinking through like some of my own personal struggles. In America, there's just like a proper like strategy. There's like a right way to get things done for everything, right? So if you want to plant a church and you want it to grow to 10,000 people, there's a manual for that. And that's on the macro level. But on the micro level, if you want to pray right, if you want a good relationship with God, there's like the right steps you take. It feels like there's a strategy for everything. So, I mean, I do think planting churches is the best strategy for reaching the lost in most of the world. However, not everything requires a strategy. As a matter of fact, in a relationship with God, a strategy can kind of hurt. Because what God wants the most from us is connection. It's relationship. It's not going through the right steps of getting closer to God. It's actually just being with him, being present with him and to him. And we're going to talk about some of these things as we look at Psalm 23 together. I'm going to start first by talking about the Christian catacombs under the city of Rome. In the mid-19th century, they were being discovered and studied, and the Christian art world was intensely interested in the images that appeared in those early Christian tombs. Now, if you walk around a current day American Roman Catholic cemetery, you're going to find crosses, crucifixes, references to purgatory and prayers for the dead. If you walk around an American Protestant cemetery, you're going to find scripture passages expressing hope and joy in the prospect of the Christian's immediate transition from death to being in the presence of Christ. Now, if you walk through the catacombs of the early Christians in Rome, you're going to find very different images. You're going to find this. This is one of the images you'll find. On the bottom, you see a vine and grapes. Jesus said, "I am the vine." So you're going to find that a lot. You're also going to find this. It's hard to see, but those are bread and fishes. And we know that's from one of Jesus's miracles. It encouraged the church that Jesus provides, and it's also a symbol of the Eucharist, how Jesus feeds us even now in the bread and the wine. And you're going to find this. This is the Good Shepherd. Now, this image was everywhere in the first few centuries. The image has been found not only as the centerpiece of tombs, but on gems, seals, fragments of glass, and other relics. So popular was this image that for the first Christians, you could say that Christianity was the religion of the Good Shepherd. the religion of the Good Shepherd. To the early Christians, it was the image of the Good Shepherd which spoke most vibrantly about what the Christian faith was and who Jesus was. A pastor, a shepherd, recovering lost sheep, providing for his sheep. It was how Jesus described himself several times in the Gospels. Before Jesus, several of Israel's prophets described Israel's spiritual leaders as bad shepherds, in contrast with God, who was the good shepherd. And it all goes back 1,000 years earlier to how one of Israel's kings, David, a shepherd himself, described God. The Lord is my shepherd. Tonight we find ourselves in Psalm 23. And this psalm is rich enough that we can unearth treasure after treasure from it, as the church has done for the last 2,000 years. Tonight, we're just going to focus on verse 3. And we're going to see how the Good Shepherd leads us to repentance. We're going to answer 3 questions. What is repentance? When do we repent? And how do we repent? But before we answer those questions, we're going to ask for the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to his word and his word to our hearts. So let's pray. Lord, we would seek the comfort and clarity that the first Christians drew and obtained from knowing you, Jesus, as the Good Shepherd. Holy Spirit, would you guide our thoughts and our minds along quiet waters? Holy Spirit, would you refresh our souls? Holy Spirit, we invoke you and ask you to help us to enjoy our time together right now in the presence of our Good Shepherd. Free us from worry and anxiety. Make us completely attentive to him. Jesus, we ask that by the end of this evening, you would be more beautiful to us than when we started. That we would find our satisfaction in you alone. Would your presence satisfy us? Amen. Now, if you're familiar with Psalm 23, you might be wondering, we're talking about repentance at all. We don't really see that word, do we? In the English-speaking world, because Psalm 23 is so well known to Christians, most translators are hesitant to alter the language from the King James translation of the Bible, and that was done back in the early 17th century. And that translation says, "He restores my soul." But when we look at the original Hebrew for this psalm, and when we look at other early translations of this text into Arabic and Syriac, we find verse 3 saying, not that he restores our soul, though, I mean, that's certainly true. We find the best translation to be, he brings me back. He brings me back. The root of this Hebrew word, shuv, is found elsewhere in the Old Testament. For instance, in Jeremiah 50:19, we read, "I will restore Israel to his pasture, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his desire shall be satisfied on the hills of Ephraim and in Gilead." I will restore Israel to his pasture. I will shuv. Literally, I will repent Israel to his pasture. When we see the second half of this verse, he leads me in paths of righteousness. The implication is that he is bringing me back because I was on the path of unrighteousness, the path of rebellion. And so for this reason, the classical Armenian translation of this verse from the early 5th century literally reads, "He brings me from the right path to the right, from the wrong path to the right path." He brings me from the wrong path to the right path. And that is the definition of repentance. It's to turn from the wrong path to the right path. Jesus, take me off the wrong path to my own glory and bring me to the right path to your glory. Take me from the wrong path of needing all the things of this world to satisfy me to the right path of you satisfying me alone. And you could say that repentance was the main theme of Jesus' preaching. It was the very first thing he preached in the Gospel of Matthew. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So then, when do we repent? Well, when Jesus says to repent, he is saying literally, repent and keep repenting. Repent and keep repenting. Because Jesus knows we are all like sheep. The author W. Philip Keller, not Tim Keller, Philip Keller, who wrote 35 books in his lifetime, once worked as a shepherd. And he relates his experience as a shepherd to this Psalm 23 in a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And Keller relays a story about a young, beautiful sheep he once had that had it in her mind that the field next to his field had the better grass. So relentlessly, this sheep would try to slip through the fence, dig under the fence, and he was constantly having to bring her back. She was so stubborn. But it's not just the sheep that's stubborn, right? You and I are like that. I know I certainly am. I talk to my spiritual director all the time. I have a spiritual director. Do you know what a spiritual director is? It's like a counselor, but it's an ancient practice of a person just helping you hear what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you. And a conversation with my spiritual director normally goes like this. I tell him about this thing I'm struggling with, and it usually has to do with feeling inadequate or feeling shameful or guilty about something. So, for instance, I'll tell him about my relationship with my sons and how I often get angry and I feel bad about it. And then he usually asks, well, after that, what did you do then? And I'll say, well, I just kind of stewed about it in my room. Well, what did you do then? Like, well, I went and apologized to my sons. Well, what did you do then? what did I do then? And the answer should be, tell God. Just tell God. Talk to my father. Tell my father what happened. He's always willing, always waiting to hear me. But this is where I'm constantly making a misstep. Here is where repentance should happen. My friend tells me I should myself all the time. Like, what? Like, yeah, you should yourself all the time. I should have done this. I should not have done this. You're always shoulding yourself. Instead of just telling my father about what I'm feeling, what I've done. I think you make the same steps too, or you fail to make that very first step, and we stay stuck in the cycle of hurt and anger and shame. And we're kind of like this sheep from New Zealand who gained some notoriety a few years back. He was named Shrek the Ram. We have a picture of Shrek. There he is. Now, he has his own Wikipedia entry. You can look him up. For 6 years, he avoided getting caught and sheared by hiding in caves. When he was finally found in 2004, 27 kilo of wool was sheared from him. That would be enough wool to make 20 men's suits. Now, Shrek was lucky. Shrek could have gotten stuck in some brambles and been instant prey. Or he could have just fallen over, which would have been fatal. When Philip Keller talks about this verse, Psalm 23, verse 3, he remembers how some of his sheep would fall over and be stuck on their backs. And once this happens, it's over for the sheep. Because try as he may, he can't get up. The center of gravity has shifted, and there's nothing the sheep can do. So one of two things is going to happen to this sheep. Either A, it becomes a meal. Or B, gas builds up in the rumen, that's the first chamber of the stomach. And if it's a summer day, the sheep is dead within hours. There's a term that shepherds use. It's called being cast, or cast down. But shepherds just say cast. A sheep that falls on the side is cast. And we're like that sometimes. The weight of our unconfessed sin pulls us down, and we lie there struggling in our anger and shame. So when do we repent? Repent now. So confess it to God. Blurt it out. He won't turn you away. As a matter of fact, that thing that you might be withholding from him, that thing that brings you some guilt or shame or embarrassment, the thing that you're least willing to bring to God, that's actually the thing he is most drawn to. It's the thing he wants to heal. He's always listening, always waiting. The time to repent is right now. There's one error that we can make in addition to delaying. The other wrong thing to do is to do what's a counterfeit of repentance. It's deciding to get better. It's deciding to improve myself. I'm going to quit doing what I was doing, and I'm going to start doing the right thing. Now, does it surprise you to hear me say that? Because I just said repentance was going from the wrong path to the right path. Well, it's wrong because it confuses what righteousness is. Righteousness isn't a thing we conjure up on our own. It doesn't come from our own willpower. The Lord brings back the sheep not because they are good sheep, but because he is the good shepherd. The Lord brings back the sheep not because the sheep is good, but because he is good. It's not our wills that lead us to repent. It's what? In Romans 2, we find what leads us to repentance. It's God's kindness. It's God's kindness that is meant to lead us to repentance. And so if that's true, that God's kindness leads us to repentance, then this next step should be telling the truth of who I am and telling the truth about who God is. I confess to God, and then I do the second thing. I do the next step, which is telling the truth of who I am and telling the truth about who God is. So let's do that together. Who are we? Well, we just said, we're sheep. I'm a sheep. I'm a stubborn, rebellious sheep who has insisted on going his own way. I have not loved God with my whole heart. I fail to love him at all sometimes. I haven't loved my neighbors myself. I've sinned in thought and word and deed. What I failed to do, and I haven't done the things that I ought to have done. I have yielded to another authority, just as we all have. Our own desire, we've yielded to our own desire for pleasure or comfort. We've yielded to our ambitions. We have yielded to beauty or success or power. We're that lovely young sheep who keeps trying to dig under the fence to get to the tastier green grass. Or we are Shrek, the ram, who's hidden in caves only to be weighed down by his own folly. As it says in Isaiah, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We're all prone to wander. We're all desperate for a shepherd to come rescue us. That's who we are, prone to wander. So before I say anything further, I'd like to sing that truth into our hearts. Do you know the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing? So let's tell the truth about who we are and sing this last verse together, okay?
Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Tend my heart, O
take and seal it for thy courts above. Okay, we've just told the truth about who we are, prone to wander. Once we tell the truth about who we are, repentance is next telling the truth about who God is. He's the shepherd. When we say the Lord is my shepherd, we're saying the Lord is my owner. The Lord is my owner. When Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd, he's not referring to himself as a hired hand. He's saying he owns us. He owns us because he made us. And he bought us. And the price was steep. The price was his own life. Jesus says the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Isaiah writes, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." The price for our sin, for our rebellion, was our own death. But Jesus, the good shepherd, paid that price for us, and now we are his. That's the truth about who I am. And the truth about who he is. And once we've told the truth about who we are and who he is, he leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads us. We read that in verse 2, that he leads me beside still waters. He goes in front. Now, in parts of the world, the shepherd goes in front, and the sheep follow the shepherd's voice. Now, sometimes the shepherd speaks, sometimes the shepherd sings. Sometimes the shepherd plays an instrument and the sheep know it and they follow the shepherd. Zechariah chapter 10 says, "I will whistle for them and gather them in, for I have redeemed them." And in John 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." Now, this is why Christians love the Bible. It's because in the Bible, we see our Lord and we hear his voice, and it's unmistakable. And it's why we read the Bible daily and why we memorize it, so that we can recognize his voice when it calls to us, so we can hear it among the clamor above all the other voices of the world that would tempt us away to a different, destructive path. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. In the 1930s, there were riots in Palestine. And one particular village near Haifa was condemned to collective punishment by having its sheep and cattle confiscated by the government. The inhabitants, however, were permitted to redeem their animals at a fixed price. And among these inhabitants was an orphan shepherd boy. This boy had 6 to 8 sheep or goats to his name. And they were all he had in this world for life and work. Now, somehow he obtained the money for their redemption. And so he went to the big enclosure where the animals were penned, and he offered his money to the British sergeant in charge. And the sergeant told him he was welcome to take the requisite number of sheep. There was no way he was going to find those 6 to 8 sheep or goats that were his among these hundreds of sheep and goats. Well, the shepherd knew better. And this boy had with him a shepherd's pipe. And he played the call that his sheep had heard countless times. And from among these hundreds of sheep, his own sheep separated from the rest and trotted out after him. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." Repentance is telling the truth about who we are, telling the truth about who God is, and then following the voice of the shepherd. Now, what difference does this all make? Well, let's consider what would be the opposite state of mind of one who lives by Psalm 23. I think a few of us in this room are pretty familiar with Psalm 23. And we could describe a person who walks beside still waters, who lays down in green pastures, who doesn't fear going through this valley of the shadow of death. One who has his table set out before him by the Lord himself. The opposite of that person would be one who suffers from a lot of anxiety. At least that would be my opinion. Anxiety. Now, some of our anxiety is genetic. Some is brought on to us by our environments. But if we're honest with ourselves, some of our anxiety we bring on ourselves, don't we? But even still, the shepherd leaves it all, rescues us, brings us back, causes us to repent, and leads us onto the right path. And far from bringing anxiety, repentance brings joy and rest. It frees us from anxiety, brings us peace. The Orthodox author Frederica Matthews Green observes in her reading of ancient Christian literature that this literature is full of writing about repentance, and the writing is beautiful. And this is her observation of early Christian writings about repentance, that the literature is full of simplicity, humility, and spreading peace. There is nothing in it of masochism or despair. Those who know themselves to be so greatly forgiven are far from gloomy, but are flooded with joy and deep tranquility. Those who are forgiven much love much. They find it hard to hold grudges against others. They find it hard to hold anything in this life very tightly. For the Christian, two things seem to be ever linked: sorrow over sin and gratitude for forgiveness. Repentance is the source of life and joy. So let's take a moment before I'm done. I'm almost done. Let's take a moment and confess our sin to God Almighty, quietly, in the quietness of our hearts. And then let's hear and receive words of forgiveness, okay? I've been given authority to share these words with you. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who in His great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who sincerely repent and with true faith turn to Him, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life. Amen. Now, would we know this life and this joy that Frederica Matthews Green talks about, that's given to us by the Good Shepherd who has found us, who has laid us on His shoulders and rejoices? He comes home and He calls together His friends and His neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close in prayer. And this is a collect that the church prays every fifth Sunday of Easter. The church around the world, some of the church around the world refer to this as the Good Shepherd Sunday. And this is the prayer that many of us pray. O God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the Good Shepherd of your people, grant that when we hear His voice, we may know Him who calls us each by name and follow where He leads, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God forever and ever. Amen.